the Oakdale Christian Centre podcast. Continuing our series on the spiritual battle, in this recording, Dave looks into our protection. The main reading is Ephesians chapter 4.
So we look at the enemy, Satan, for the last few weeks, months, seeing who he is, his names. Of course, his names reveal his character, what he does, what his work is, ultimately to destroy and distract us, divide and all those kind of things. And we looked last week, we have victory over him, hallelujah, in Christ, of course, in and of ourselves, we have no chance, no hope. And again, we're looking at the victory, especially the armour tonight, we'll be looking at. And it's interesting, some again, we have an idea that sometimes when we talk about Satan, we talk about, we think about exorcisms, don't we, and the whole demonic world, but so often is the little, those little things that he creeps up on. For example, as they said here, what about when confessing sin is so difficult? Why is obedience so challenging? Why are we so afraid to evangelize? Why is forgiveness so daunting? Why is prayer so marred by distraction? Sometimes we see the enemy on these, but no. Little, subtle. He's subtle, isn't he? Those little things, you know. Say sorry, Dave. No, I don't want to say sorry. No, I'm not saying sorry. I shouldn't have to say sorry. Prayer, as we said last week, easy, where we come to prayer. God, I got to do this, I got to do that. And all these things crashing on your mind. I got to go here, I got to go there. And all those kind of things. Remember, that's the enemy trying to stop us from being who we can be. And of course, lots of other things we see in our society today. As a counterfeit, we talked before about the search for security in people. We find people rebelling, don't we? Search for affection, intimacy. So the opposite is immorality, and we see that rife. Search for the supernatural, and we see his answer is sorcery. And with that, sort of flying through, isn't it? And I notice every week on the Facebook, the Spiritualist Church in Blackwood are advertising. Although you've got to pay to go in there, come and he or she's good working with the spirits. See how that is infiltrating. Search for reality. Of course, what does the enemy give? Fantasy. Mm-hmm. Glory be. We have a generation today that are using VR and they don't live in the real world. They haven't got a clue about the real world. I mean, we don't even understand that. But that's what he does. And of course, the search for God, ultimately, he will fill our lives with many idols that takes the place of God. Well, first and foremost, we're going to look at the armour, but let's again remind ourselves that in Christ, we are victorious. And that's always good to remind ourselves of. It's in him. And so let's read a couple of verses to start that off. Matthew 10:24-29, I think it is.
A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid, you are worth more and many sparrows.
Again, fear. And of course, when we enter this sort of topic, so many people are afraid, aren't they? Now, again, we're not blasé. Let's get that straight. Because we know the enemy, he's been about this work for a long time. But neither we are fearful. The Bible's very clear. Submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee. There is a process, there's a pattern. We know his methods. And ultimately, Jesus said, look, be afraid of who you are standing in awe of God, who's the creator. That's the one. And of course, the one who exposes everything as well. So fear, no fear, fear, only fear the living God. Romans 16, 17, 20.
I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their hope of appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I am full of joy over you, but I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you.
Amen. So there's the obviously in the future, soon crush it, enemy under feet. But of course, we're living in that as well, aren't we? We are seated in heavenly places. That's where we are. The enemy has no say in our lives if we don't allow him. We're in Christ, in his work, walking with him in his will. Of course, he comes and whispers and knows all those things. But again, we are surrounded by him and we can crush those works. And that's why we have great authority in the Lord over those things that are really plaguing us, things that may be habits or thought patterns. And, you know, and again, in our locality, we really need to take authority, don't we? Just praying this week, young man from up the valley there, New Jadiga, 33 years of age, took his life. Three young kids. Mm-hmm. They think, what on earth? That, you see, that's spiritual, isn't it? And that's because we see a pattern. We see over the last few years, we see numbers of that. Mm-hmm. And that, you see, and of course, again, that's spiritual. And we need to really take authority. That's, I mean, who can understand that? Three lovely kids, mm-hmm. you know, seem to be very busy doing this and that. And the other end, just, you know, you're thinking, what goes through someone's mind, you know, to do that. So we are praying and taking authority because why? Because in Christ we have victory. But of course, he hasn't left us alone. We looked last week at the things he's given us: praise and prayer, and the blood and the word, and all those things that we have. And we're going to talk about the armor tonight, and maybe not with the thought of the Roman, because some people say he was always looking at a Roman soldier and applying it. Possibly, probably. But ultimately, he takes the armour and all we're looking at, we're just going to read the Old Testament, from Isaiah. Isaiah is telling us this armour that Christ wore, that the God warrior, in a sense, wore and had, that is ours in him. So although we can take, and we can look, maybe one day we can look at the Roman army and look at their armour that was appropriate to what he was, ultimately he was looking at the Old Testament and taking, that was his main priority, main focus. So let's make sure we talk what we know what we're talking about. First one is Isaiah 11, 1 to 5.
And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins.
So there we have a prophetic word about Jesus, don't we? That's one of the prophetic words. The root of Jesse, that's where he's coming from. And sometimes we can read, and we read in the New Testament, in Revelation, talking about the sevenfold Spirit of God, or the sevenfold, it is not seven spirits, but that's what it means. And you think, what on earth does that mean? Because we think, well, the spirit is well, isn't he? So what's this? Well, of course, there's where the writer's getting it from there, verse 2. There's the sevenfold where he describes the Spirit of the Lord in different ways. There's the sevenfold if you want need to for your reference there. But then he's tell us who he is, how he's going to work. And then verse 5, righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness will be the sash around, again, his waist, his breastplate. So there, first straight away, we see he's looking at that. He's looking at that prophetic and saying, that's Jesus had that, and we are in Christ. Righteousness, faithfulness is ours to gird us around, wrap us around. Isaiah 59.
So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him, that there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak.
So again, Paul's looking back. What is he looking at? Of course, primarily he's looking here. Jesus again, the Lord is looking, and he sees truth and lawlessness around, and there's no one, can't find anyone to intercede, so he comes and does it himself. Of course, he puts the breastplate of righteousness on, helmet of salvation on, the garments of vengeance. He will judge sin. He will come with wrath against that which is opposed to him. And I love that last one, which is he wraps himself in zeal. There's nothing half-hearted about our Lord, is there? Blessed, thankfully, because if he was half-hearted, he certainly wouldn't have gone to the cross, would he? He would have said, right, I've had enough of this. I'm not doing this, Lord. Not my will. My will be done. It's got to be another way. Zeal. Everything he did was absolutely sold out for the purposes and the will and the work and the word of the Lord through him. Isaiah 52, 6 to 10.
Therefore, my people will know my name. Therefore, in the day, they will know that it is I who foretold it. Yes, it is I. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen. Listen, your watchmen, lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into song of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. The Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy hand in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God.
Again, feet, how beautiful are the feet of him who bring good news. Feet shod with the gospel, with the good news. Romans 10 picks that up. And again, of course, in the Old Testament, that word beautiful means pleasant, to be at home, the right. But in the New Testament, it's a slightly different meaning. It's in the right time, seasonable, in the prime time where the gospel. That's why he said we're ready. We're always walking in the will of God, the purposes of God. Again, that verse in Deuteronomy, Romans 10:15. Before it, it's all about declaring, preaching. How will they know unless they hear? How will they hear unless someone goes and tells them and shows them? So again, Paul's looking back at that, those feet shod with the good news. How beautiful are those feet who comes and declares the news of the Lord? Isaiah 49.
Listen, O coastlands, to me, and take heed, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb, from the matrix of my mother. He has made mention of my name. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he has hidden me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver he has hidden me.
Get the sword. The words, the sword, again, the sword, of course, again, metaphorically, the Lord is talking about when Jesus speaks, is the sword comes out of his mouth. It is sharp, it's penetrative, it's the word of the Lord. So before we get into the Paul's writing in Ephesians 6, we can see he's looking back. Now, he may have been looking at the Roman soldier, possibly, but ultimately his main focus, his main, I suppose, the background is to see Jesus and what he wore and what he was, and to apply that to ourselves. So let's read Ephesians 6, 10 to 20.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with the truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, whereby you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And ask for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therefore I may speak boldly as I ought to speak.
Amen. So there's Paul declaring, full armour, get the whole armour of God upon you. Be strong. In how do we strong? We take his strength. It's amazing when we begin to lax with the armour of the Lord, when we try to do it in our own strength. Those darts, fiery darts, come through and they hit us, they burn us, they scar us sometimes. And the Lord said, you don't need to be like that. Put on. He's said, this is what you have. Now you've got to get yourself in that place where you put it on. It's a lovely picture of us sinking into a garment. We understand that. We clothe ourselves. We deliberately take it up. He says, put it on, take it up, so you'll be able to stand. You say, our job is to stand, isn't it? To stand, submit to the Lord, stand, and repel the work of the enemy, and advance, certainly personally in our own lives, isn't it? That's what the Lord's ultimately looking for, is an advancement in our lives of all the wicked things the enemy would throw against us, or the flesh in our lives. So there he's saying, be strong in his power, put on, he uses that a number of times, so you can withstand, resist in the evil day. As we see, and we pick up other bits of the armour as we go through the New Testament, it's in the evil day, and in the last days especially, specifically, where the Bible says it'll get worse and worse and worse, and deception and all those things, and that's why we need the armour of the Lord, that's why we need him, and to be staying with him and in him. So there's that encouragement. Let's go back to Romans 13, 11 to 14.
And do this, understand the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in cursing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery. Not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh.
Okay, it goes back, doesn't it, to our war on the mind as well, that we read this. Get yourself awake, be alert, be ready, see what's in front of us. Now, it shouldn't take a genius to realise where we are. In the world, you turn the news on and you know the enemy's out, isn't he? To destroy, to divide, and all those kind of things. He says, now, get rid of those things of the darkness. Don't even give them any thought. Put on the armour of light. Light, we know what light does. It exposes, it shines. Anything that is dark, is dirty, it shines and exposes. And he says, okay, there's dirt there, Dave, clean it up. Get rid of it. And again, he says, clothe yourself with him. Same word, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Sink yourself into him. We are in him, but then, as we'll see in a moment, when we talk about the righteousness When we get to become a Christian, the Lord gives us the robe of righteousness. It's called imputed. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. He takes it and puts it into our account, his righteousness. But then the Bible says that's not the end of it, is it? And we start living it out. It's called imparted righteousness, where we pursue it, where we go and practice it. And sometimes, I don't know what people think. Well, I do think what people think. They think they just made a decision and that's it, and carry on being and living as they like, doing as they like. And that's nothing to do with creation. No. The Bible said, "I want you to be follow me, be like me, change." And it is interesting that the every bit of armor that is truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, of course, the word and prayer, again attacks everything that the enemy is for. Truth. What is he? We're taught he's a liar. Righteousness, well, he's all for unrighteousness, and anything dirty and filthy, that's his work. Gospel of peace, well, what does he do? He loves turmoil, discord, chaos. That's what he loves. He loves to do that. He doesn't want us to have harmony. No, he loves like that. Faith, well, it is the opposite. It's doubt, isn't it? That's one of his trump cards. Dave, you sure? You sure God said that? You sure God wants that? You sure God has put that on your heart? And he loves to do that, doesn't he? And of course, salvation. Helmet of salvation. Well, his work is to get people to be lost, to stay lost, and to lead them up the garden path. And so everything the armour of the Lord is opposed to everything the enemy is. And that's why he says, make sure the armour of light is on you, and you day by day by day. This is a process, isn't it? When we talk about the daily things we have to do, daily die to ourselves, and that's because we are dying to me and putting on Christ. Every time we say no to me, I'm saying yes, and changing. Just reading a little bit of an article there, where we wrap ourselves in the Word of God, and as we continue to do that, how we change, how it becomes part of us, not just in us. In our mind, but comes out because it's a part of us. So armor of light have nothing to do with the deeds of darkness, and that's a process because as we get older in the Lord, we see things clearer, don't we? And we think when we used to think that's not too bad, and now we get older and think there's no benefit in that, there's no good in that. So if there's no benefit, it's not good, it's not going to give me growth. Well, it's going to go aside. Truth, John 8. 31-32.
The Jews who have believed him, Jesus said, "Behold my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free."
See, everything we do is truth, and that permeates everything that we are. The Bible says to worship the Lord is in spirit and in truth, honesty, reality, transparency. Sanctify them, Jesus, sanctify them in the truth. Well, the word is truth, isn't it, of course? It's interesting, the belt of truth. Now, in those days, men didn't wear trousers, did they? It was long cloak. So when it says gird up your loins, and the Bible says about that with your mind, isn't it? Gird up, what it meant is you get your robe and you tucked it into your belt so you were ready to move quickly in the right direction. You were ready. And he says, now gird up your loins, what with? With truth, with his truth. So you know where you're going, who you're going with, and in the right direction. But you're ready with truth, and truth to bind the loins, which is, that reproductive area, which is affects so many, doesn't it? And we see it day by day, people falling into sin, and even in the church, falling. Why? Because they've not wrapped themselves. They believed the lie. I was just listening to a testimony of a minister. He had a big church. And he said, "I would have never thought I would have fallen into adultery." He said, "Never." He said, "I didn't even, you know." He said, "But little by little, a lady got friendly with me." And then he said, "Little by little, we started talking." And that's nothing wrong with that. He said, "But of course, then we started..." It's just gradually processing, and start we getting being alone with each other. And he said, "I could never believe it." And of course, he said, the disaster, the devastation caused by that. He said, "I knew," but he said, little by little, and gird your loins, with truth. get the truth, see what it does, and that's good sometimes to read and to see the devastation that, that sin causes. And God knows that. That's why the devil does it, didn't he? And of course, he said he got on the news because he had a big church. And oh, what a fallout. What a fallout. And that, so there, truth all around us, in us, bathed in it. 1 Timothy 6, 9 to 12.
For they that will be rich fall into temptation and dismay, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses.
See, being a Christian is not passive. Sometimes we say, oh, we let it come, we let the Lord... No. Read these verbs. You, man of God, flee from these things. Don't think you can mess with sin. And I'm just, as I said, that guy with the chest meat, he said, oh, I didn't think... And he said, I thought I relied on my own strength. And there the devil loves that, where he think we can manage, I can manage it, I can handle it. Oh, and we see that catalogue of this arrogance, pride, and of course the devil's laughing then. Flee from these things, he said, and fight, pursue, here he is, pursue righteousness. We are righteous, but there's a practice of righteousness. You see, what God has put in us, we have to live it out so it becomes part of us. We become like him. And this, the breastplate of righteousness, to protect the heart. The heart is always, look after the heart, watch the heart for out of it, the issues of life. And righteousness in our heart causes unrighteous life, doesn't it? Of course it does. Our words, our behaviour. Why? Because out of the heart, the issues of life. So protect your heart, your body, that all the area with righteousness, his righteousness. And fight the good fight, he says. Oh, it's a fight. There's a battle to be won. And the greatest battle is with yourself. I try to think about that quote. He said, where's the battle? He said, on this 1 foot square here, he said, and this 6 foot, 1 foot square. So there's the battle, he said, to be won. Because once we win the battle here, when we are fighting, winning, taking hold, he said, again, these verbs, take hold of eternal life. Obviously, we have eternal life, but what he's saying is, remind yourself, grab hold of it, remind yourself, hold fast to that. So pursue righteousness, fight and take hold of that. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-8.
But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation.
Again, the context is the Lord's returning. Days are dark. Don't be blind. Don't be dull. Open your eyes to see what is in front of us. And then, of course, he uses those breastplate of righteousness and truth and the helmet of salvation. Again, reminding ourselves who we are in him. When we talk about identity, once we understand who we are, it releases so much issue, doesn't it? releases all the pressure of becoming this and doing that and achieving. The Bible says, do your best in everything, and we were serving the Lord. But that's not the be all and end all, is it? It is to know him and know who we are in him, and out of that comes. So he said, protect your mind, what with? Salvation. And the hope of salvation. Of course, our hope is heaven. So what happens is worries, troubles, this, that, and the other. And then we think, you know what? In, depending on how long we're going to be here, 10 years, 20, in 100 years' time, why did I get concerned? Why did I get worried about that? Why? As I said, that quote, if it isn't going to, if you want to affect eternity, it's not going to worry, why do you let it worry you now? And it's a great, is it? And sometimes, I and of course, it does come back to me. I was, again, driving the other day, and someone's going so slow in front of me. And then that quote came to me, Dave, it's not going to matter in eternity, so why are you letting it bother you now? And again, we've got a choice to make then, isn't it? I could put it in a sports mode and go around him on the side road, or just turn the worship a bit more and just rest in that. And you see, those little battles of not allowing the enemy to disturb you. Because he loves us to be deceived, he loves us to get angry over. Now, there's a righteous anger. We need to get up and get angry about certain things, but we get angry about so little, so petty little things. So the Bible is very clear, isn't it? Breastplate, our thought life, salvation, who we are, hope of salvation, bless the Lord. Gospel of peace, well, we probably won't cover that tonight. Let's do our faith. Hebrews 11.
And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle, and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection.
Yes, the faith. What faith does? It brings victory. Why? Because, again, isn't faith that sometimes we talk about faith as a sort of a nebulous idea? No, it's who we've got faith in, isn't it? It's faith in Christ. It's who he is. So when the shield of faith, and of course now we can come maybe to the Roman shield, where he understood the shield, which was a big thing, maybe 5 foot, so you could hide your whole body behind this shield, made of covered in leather, probably anointed with oil. So if it was just arrows, they'd deflect, but they could also be put into water, so when they came with full of flames, it would extinguish them. That's the idea. Get behind that faith. There's our foundation, there's our footing. If it's in anything else, you're in trouble. If it's in faith in yourself, if it's behind anything else, those fiery darts, and they will scar, they will hurt, they will damage. And that's why he said, employ your faith in him. And who he is and what he's done. Remember, when we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, he is, what is he? He is our truth, he is our righteousness, he is our peace, he is our salvation, he is our all in all. So we put our faith in him, and when we see a dart coming, maybe a thought or an issue in our life or a habit, we say, Lord, by faith you said I can defeat this. I can overcome it. You defeated the enemy on the cross. I'm going to take that by faith. Now, let me say, there's things in our life that take some shifting sometimes. You know, if we've been living a certain way or with a habit or a characteristic in our life, it's going to take some shifting. But the Bible's very clear. Day by day, little by little, precept upon precept, decision after decision, the victory can be ours. And God takes us to certain places, doesn't he? So he grows, and so we can see growth in our life and the word of the Lord. I remember certain issues and certain times in our life that you really learn good lessons. And when I went away to university, I lived away, not far, but Cardiff. But you're away from home, aren't you? So you're out of the covering of your parents and that sort of protection. And let me tell you, there's great protection in family and, of course, in the church. We talked about that last week. And you're away for the first time, aren't you? And you could do anything you want. You could do anything you want. And sadly, many kids do. They're 18 away, they go in and they do it. And I remember being in my room, and it wasn't many in the halls of residence, they all gone out for the night. And I'm thinking, Lord, okay, I got a decision to make here now. I'm either going to go the way of the crowd, or I'm going to believe. And as I was sitting there, Romans 1:16 came to me. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation. And it started there with that decision. And then just maybe a few months later, I remember listening to a tape, and I went away to camp, and someone preaching on Matthew 26:40. Could you not stay an hour with me? Could you not spend time with me? Yeah. And amazing how the Lord builds on those things and puts them into your life, because otherwise you would in that environment where the enemy is as free course, you'll be in trouble. And just what I absorbed, what I listened to, and I remember coming home just like a normal student and turning the radio on, and just the Holy Spirit saying to you, why do you put that on? What are you listening to that for? Because I always do. But why? What benefit, what edification is that going to give you? And I mean, from then on, I mean, to the day, I purposely, deliberately got in my way to put Christian music on and try and avoid anything else. I mean, the best you can get from worldly music is what? Worldly values, isn't it? As simple as that. The worst you can get, of course, you can go to the nth degree and the enemy is right into it. But again, so it just, Lord, David, protect yourself. Feed yourself with that which is going to build you up. And it's just common sense, isn't it? We're in enemy territory. Be careful of what you allow the enemy in. And certainly don't deliberately go into enemy territory. And we've seen those people who say, well, I'm going to be a witness there. Whoa, wait a minute now. If the Lord has told you to go there, be careful. But sometimes we are brazen. I'm going to go in there and witness for the Lord. And they come back and they've been squashed, eaten, spat out. Because again, we go in where the Lord has taken us and not where we think we should go. Of course, we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But again, there's wisdom there and leading of the, and being the full armour. Of course, our offensive weapon, Hebrews 4:11 to 16.
Let us labour therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and it is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like us as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Amen. Our offensive weapon, of course, is the sword, the word, sharp to discern, go right into the thing. And a wonderful day, sometimes we are our imagination, our cogitations, our purposes, our aims, our dreams, all flooding in. We think, is this of the Lord? Is this of me? And thankfully, we have the word of God to come and cut through and say, look, Dave, that's of you. This is of me. Go this way. And that's with the word of God. And just talking about, again, it's good to observe, isn't it, to see. And when I talk about going away to university and making that big decision right at the beginning, I remember, and of course, one thing that I remember is my brother went, and he went way off, or Mike, way off, because he, you know, and I thought, well, there's a choice here, isn't it? And I saw, I mean, he came back to the Lord, but he had some real difficulties in the meantime, real troubles, brought on by himself, of course. But I thought that was, again, I could see, it's good to be observed, to see, sometimes we think, oh, that's not, and we see the enemy, we see the consequences of sin, and we can say, look at that, I don't want to do that, I don't want to end up there and go down that route. So, again, the enemy's not changed his tactics. We're not unaware of his tactics, and God's given us the victory. Hallelujah. In him, with him, put on the full armour. Be strong in the Lord. Take up your stance. That's enough of that, Lord, enemy. Not having any of that in my life. So bless the Lord tonight in him. Hallelujah. Our focus. That's why when we talk about the armour, we talk to Christ, because our focus is not Satan. Our focus is not the Romans and Roman soldiers. Our focus really is Christ, isn't it? Because in him, victory. He's bought it. He's paid for it. And he's said, here we are. We are with him and in him. Hallelujah.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. To find out more about our church, including our service times, visit www.oakdalechristiancentre.org.